There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 670, December 15th, 2014. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Peaches and Herbs. Reunited, and it feels so good in Woking. Back to you, senor. Muy macho hombre de podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, get your 2015 F1 calendar from the F1 Weekly merchandise page now. Fernando and Ron Dennis in a loving embrace. Gutierrez goes to Ferrari, and will 2015 disappoint? Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. And you talked about Nando wrapping himself around Ron Dennis with his hand on Ron Dennis's corazón. What is this world coming to, Mr. Rogers?
I'm telling you, I'm the one who complains about too much nicety, too much loving, and I have to look at this for the next year. Unbelievable, but trust me, after a couple of texts, a couple of little funky businesses, 2015 and Ron Dennis could explode as antimatter meets matter. Boom!
Kaboom!
Yeah.
Well, you know, the unthinkable has happened. When Love came to town in 2007, there were great expectations which were almost delivered in the season finale in Sao Paulo. Before the year was out, it was achy, breaky heart on both sides, and Nando would not even come out of his private jet to meet McLaren's Jacoby and Myers to sign divorce papers. So this is an amazing, you know, U-turn here. But now, after a seven-year itch, both are falling in love again like geisha dolls at McLaren Honda. This was the partnership that gave the late Ayrton Senna his three championships. Nando is the man regarded as one of the all-time greats, as he should be, and also he was the man who brought to an end the reign of the Red Baron to become the then-youngest world champion, which obviously was not a small achievement, and then he defended the title in great style the following year. And I'm sure you remember these 2 years very well, but not the third one.
Absolutely, but not only was the second championship exciting, because on the second championship with Renault, he did it while everybody knew he was going to McLaren the following season. So it showed that he had signed and delivered with McLaren, yet he was still Monsieur Motivation and got the second world champion with Renault, showing his outstanding motivational abilities.
Absolutely. It was no secret when Honda's return was announced that they wanted a mega star in the team. And on today's grid, there is no more complete package than the man from Oviedo, despite Lewis Hamilton's brute pace and Sebastian Vettel's four-in-a-row championships. And given all the new technologies and the bells and whistles in the engine compartment, plus the sheer domination of Mercedes' power plant this year, it will not be a walk in the park for Honda and McLaren in Melbourne when the 2015 season starts, but I have a feeling the sun will rise for this combination sooner or later, and Nando will be a shining star and hopefully will get his much-deserved third championship. All I can say is, andale, andale.
I think you're right. We'll see what happens in season testing. We already know that Mercedes, because of non-stop development, they will probably even be better. They could pull out maybe another 50 horses out of that motor. So it's going to be huge on Honda. But Honda can pull it out of the bag. They're not wussies over there. They're professionals. They've done this before. They've been in the capsule, and they know what to do. And hopefully, they've dissected the Mercedes and improved.
Yes, and you know, their media is talking that Mercedes may pull ahead, and Lewis Hamilton has new motivation. And so it's going to be very competitive, and it's not going to be an easy task. But, you know, one thing is very interesting, that Nando's association with McLaren Honda goes all the way back to Oviedo when he was 3 years old. And let's listen to what he had to say at the press conference at McLaren's really palatial headquarters.
First go-kart was a McLaren Honda replica when I was 3 years old. And of course, when you know, this partnership announced that I was coming back together last year, it was already quite an attractive option. As Ron said, it was a tough decision for me, obviously leaving Ferrari, which obviously is quite an important step of any driver's career. But if I join this project, it's because I believe that this is the one that can give me the best results and can give me the third world championship. I visit the factories in Japan, Sakura as well. I visit obviously the McLaren factory, and I saw enough things that you know, gave me the necessary trust and the necessary confidence that many good things will come. Obviously, this started 1 year and a half ago, the first touch, so I have to say thanks also to Martin Wismar. I have to say thanks to Eric, to Ron, to Arai, for all the convincing conversations, and you know, I'm extremely happy, extremely honored to be part of this this partnership. And yeah, it's time to work, and hopefully we can bring back some good results as soon as possible.
What do you think about what he had to say, sir?
I understand what he's trying to say. I'm glad that he's coming back to McLaren. At least they'll be able to finally talk about Fernando. You know, for years they didn't show any of Fernando's cars. They didn't show any of Fernando's trophies. It was all hidden in the basement.
Well, according to our senior vice president or executive vice president, Mr. Peter Brizier, when he went to McLaren, he wrote that there was not a trace of somebody from Oviedo even ever putting a step there.
Yes, that's how bitter the feud is. I mean, this was the Hatfields and McCoys of F1.
Yes. Ron Dennis is now back in charge at McLaren after Martin Whitmarsh was told, "Your services are no longer required." And Ron, interestingly, wasted no time in saying that his one-time love child, Lewis Hamilton, played a part in the 2007 Civil War in Woking. And this, I think, was a reference to the Hungarian goulash in qualifying when LCH disobeyed team orders, which led to Nando waiting in the pit for the countdown to finish from his physio. Both were classic moments, I have to say.
Yeah, and let's not forget about that book that was picked up over at Kinko's about the Ferrari engineering plans that seemed to mysteriously appear in McLaren's offices. There was a lot of weird stuff going on in 2007.
Yeah, you know, taking a you know, draftman size page one or two, I understand, but to take a complete CD with, say, Scuderia Ferrari stuff in Italian to Kinko's, I mean, that was pretty ballsy, I have to say. And of course, there was the infamous threat to Ron from Nando about calling Max Mosley and spilling the fava beans on texting that was going on in the Spygate scandal.
The only problem there is Ron Dennis likes to be whipped every once in a while.
Yeah, those were strange times. Ron has taken legendary names to championship success, names like Prost, Lauda, Senna, and I think it's only a matter, not only I think, but I hope it's only a matter of time before the name Alonso is added to this list. And let's listen to Ron speak here. And you know, he's like E.F. Hutton when he talks. People listen.
Fernando's coming back. He's going to prove that A, he's an absolute winner. That's the easy bit. Number two, that he can reintegrate with our team and really work on fulfilling our common objective. And we're going to get lots of challenges. The media inevitably is going to be challenging to manage. We have an English driver in an English team with English mechanics and backed up by the English media, and we have a Spanish driver with the Spanish media. Both media groups are extremely combative, understandably, and in the end, you know, we have to ensure that that does not influence, that objective doesn't influence the team.
Your thoughts on Ron Speak, sir?
I thought it was wonderful, and I'm happy that everybody's happy and loving at Woking. It's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to preseason testing so we can gauge. I mean, just think about it. We're going to get to see Fernando in a McLaren suit, in a McLaren car. It's all going to be bizarre. And then we've got Vettel in a red suit. Kimi will be sleeping in the back eating Haagen-Dazs. Let's not forget, Daniel Ricciardo is going to give hell to all of these guys hoping to make it at the front of the spear. And we know that Mercedes is going to be at the tip of the spear. It's going to be interesting to see how Honda works this out. Because Honda, you know, they're putting a lot into this. They are putting a lot into this. Hence the reason why Nando is there. This is a huge thing. They don't want to have to sell the company for a dollar again.
Very true. Very true. And now we come to the third man. The man who will be Nando's teammate next year. Jenson Button had the experience of not only being a world champion, but also having the experience of working with Honda before, scoring his first Grand Prix win with them in, of all the places, Hungary. On the other hand, McLaren had a whippersnapper, to borrow a phrase from Mr. Rogers, on their hand, offspring of an experiment that did not work out, as in Jan Magnussen. Kevin Magnussen made a dramatic debut with the team in Australia this year by finishing on the podium, kind of like LCH in 2007, but there were some erratic races. The kid is quick, nevertheless. There was talk of JB in sports car racing like Mark Webber. Now, McLaren obviously has taken its time to announce the complete driver lineup and have made a decision that's very sensible. Both JB and K-Mag have been retained. Experience of Button will be useful in developing the new package along with Nando. And Nando was also supporting Jenson Button as his teammate. And 2015 will be sweet 16 for Jenson as he made his Formula One debut in 2000 before Kimi and Nando. And K-Mag, I think, is poised for a great career. He will be the team's third driver. A similar position in the team did very well for a driver named Mika Häkkinen. What say you, Senor?
I agree. Thought that was a smart move. I think Kevin has managed well. Stick around. Relax. Some of the best drivers in Formula One started out as backup drivers, as reserve drivers. Hence, Fernando El Machismo.
That is very true. And let's hear from Jenson Button, what he has to say about possibility of going on gardening leave.
It's been quite a long few weeks, but sometimes the best things in life are worth waiting for. 16th year in Formula One, and more importantly, I think my sixth year with McLaren, and I'm not one to shy away from new challenges in life, and I don't think any of us should be, and I think this is a really, really exciting challenge, you know, to be involved with the new era of McLaren Honda really does mean a lot to me, and to race against and alongside this guy is a big challenge, but an exciting challenge that I'm very much looking forward to.
Well, we better have a word about those negotiations. You mentioned that they gave you the opportunity actually to reflect on life outside Formula One. But now you're back. What was it that made you decide that your future was still in Formula One and with McLaren Honda?
I did reflect on life outside Formula One, and it's nowhere near as fun as life in Formula One from what I've seen. But my heart has always been here to race for McLaren. And to race with Honda. You know, I've had some very special times racing with Honda. We've had some difficult times as well, but there's a lot that we can do together and achieve together, which really means a lot to me. So it's definitely a decision that was worth waiting for. and I'm very happy to be here right now.
Question for you, sir. How do you think JB will stack up against FA?
First of all, if Johnson Button didn't get that drive, he was guaranteed a drive over at Peter Brazier's on his ride mower.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good job.
And that would have been a career enhancement for Johnson Button.
And it would have meant that he would have had an F1 Weekly logo on his driving suit.
Exactly.
I know. So, no, I think this is going to work out great. Let's not forget, and I've said this before, Fernando was the backup driver at Benetton/Renault F1 in 2002 when Jenson Button was driving alongside the Jarno Trulli train.
Yeah, and Jenson Button did not gel very well with Flavio.
No, Flavio didn't like Jenson. He used Eric Clapton's nickname, Slowhand.
Wow.
I know. So you gotta know the insides here.
Yeah, but did he give him a badge?
No stinking badge. Let's not forget, Jenson Button and Fernando have known each other for years.
The way I use my pretzel and Somoza logic is very simple. If Jenson could run with LCH, I'm sure he can run with Nando also. But Nando, you know the thing about Nando, and I'll never forget this, long time ago when he drove for Minardi, I think it was the Japanese Grand Prix where, remember Paul Stoddard, the Australian who owned the team?
Of course, I loved Paul Stoddard.
Now, I don't know how many laps are there in a Japanese Grand Prix, 50, 60, but I remember him saying in an interview that Nando finished the race and every lap in a Minardi, he said, was like a qualifying lap. So the guy is relentless.
No, he is relentless. But on the other hand, Jenson Button is a quick and fast driver, or he wouldn't have been. I mean, let's not forget, Jenson is now the Rubinho of the paddock. You know, he's been here for a long, long time, yet I think he's only, what, 35 years old?
Something like that.
Yes, because he started at 19. So I think this is going to work out great. And Jenson Button, I think he's much more relaxed. I think it'll be a similar situation, except that Jenson will be Rubinho, and then Fernando will be Jenson, sort of like at Braun GP.
Wow. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how long it takes for Honda to and the McLaren, you know, program to catch up to speed and threaten whoever the top dog is, most probably LCH and Nico Rosberg. Now, I have to ask you something. This just came in very late in the day. Esteban Gutierrez at Ferrari as a third driver.
Well, that's really simple. Carlos Slim has a red phone on his desk, and you know where that goes.
Yeah, and when it rings, green stuff comes out.
Exactly. So, no, I'm sure there's a deal, you know. They put him in there. I mean, how long can you keep Marc Genet and the other guy, Badoer? And don't forget, this way, Gutierrez can hang around Fisico.
No, you know, Gutierrez, like Romain Grosjean, Nico Hülkenberg, is a very talented kid. And unless you put these kids in the competitive package, you really will never know. I mean, you look at Valtteri Bottas, how good he has done. So on one hand, you can say, well, Gutierrez did not win the GP2 championship, this and that, did not do anything with Sauber. But who did anything with Sauber in the last few years? But I think this is a great opportunity if we can drive a car that is being driven by Kimi Raikkonen and Sebastian Vettel. And if his times are competitive, I'm not saying they will be, but, you know, we have to give this kid a chance. And I'm hoping, you know, he's one of the first friends of F1 Weekly, him, Alexander Rossi. We've been following these young kids and, of course, poor Jules Bianchi. So we would like to see at least one of them have a decent Formula One career.
Absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. He is part of the F1 Weekly Familia. I interviewed him when he won the GP3 championship in Monza. Super nice guy. We ran into each other a number of times. He was very friendly. Always said hello to me. Super great parents. Right. And I'm very happy for him. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you can't get a great drive, hey, a reserve driver at Ferrari is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. Yeah, I met him at Jerez, him and his father, and the whole family is very nice. And I've been in touch with his PR guy, Mark Granados, for a long, long time. Mark is originally from Colombia, and a nice guy. It's a good entourage they have there.
And it's good for young blood. I mean, I agree with you. I think he's very talented. And you put a talented driver, let's just say, in an AMG Mercedes, he's going to do pretty good.
Well, look what Pascal Wehrlein did. How many people know him? And he was very quick in the ABDAB postseason testing.
Exactly. And listen to what Jaime Alguersuari recently said, that Formula One is just a super GP2, rápido, supero. And maybe he's right. The cars are easier to drive. These young drivers are having more success at driving these easier cars to drive. So, hey, Gutierrez, let me put it this way. Kimi Raikkonen falls asleep at the airport, misses his flight. Gutierrez gets the chance of a lifetime.
Yes, and talking of Jaime Alguersuari, a very good talent. He won the British F3 at a young age. I think he's El Supero pissed off. But the best comment he made, which I like very much, is when they threw him in Formula One, and his comment was, going to Formula One without any preparation or testing is like going to the slaughterhouse.
It depends on your attachments.
Well, that's very true. And that's the thing, you know, I mean, Dr. Marco can say, well, we threw Sebastian Vettel in the Piranha pool. We threw Daniel Ricciardo. Look at what they have done.
Well, look at Kimi Raikkonen. He was thrown into the pool. I mean, he was in open wheel racing for what, 10 races? And then he was in Formula One.
Yeah, he went from Formula Renault to Formula One.
Yeah, so like I said, if you've got the attachments, you take that opportunity and go for it.
Correcto. What else do you see? What do you make of Nico Hülkenberg going and doing some sports car races with Porsche? Do you think his time in Formula One is going to fizzle away?
No, but he's very young still. He's a very good driver who hasn't, you know, and even now the pundits are saying, you know, perhaps he has missed the boat. So, hey, racing for Porsche is nothing to sneeze at as well. It's a great mark, great pedigree, fantastic history. Why not? I mean, I think it's a German team. I think it's a great opportunity, and might as well get some experience while you're young, because racing talent, except for Emerson Fittipaldi, who's back in a Ferrari, as a matter of fact, your window of opportunity to make some history is very, very small. So I don't blame him. Hey, you know what? The podium at Le Mans is pretty sweet, and they serve the same champagne.
Yeah, that's very true. But it'll be interesting to see how his career pans out. I think this is a guy who really should have gone into Ferrari. But like you said, he missed the boat, or the boat did not come to his harbor. But, you know, there's so much new talent coming. If Max Verstappen makes a big impression, then, you know, he'll probably get a big seat, Red Bull, Ferrari, whatever. So that's another big seat gone. And then Esteban Ocon coming. And there are other young drivers coming through the system. That is, if you don't make it happen in that, I would say maybe the 2 or 3 years, you get that window of opportunity opens from the age of, I would say, 19 to 21, 22, then it's very, very tough.
Oh, it is very tough. And I'm telling you, and let's not forget, there's a lot of things that we don't see. You know, maybe Hülkenberg's management hasn't done a good job. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't know about why he hasn't showed up in a McLaren or a Mercedes seat or a Ferrari seat. But let's not forget, Force India has made great strides. They're battling up there. Hopefully they'll be fighting with Lotus F1 and Williams. So let's not forget, Williams last year scored nothing. And look at the big leap they've made today. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Hülkenberg's going to be around for a while, and I think the opportunities may come.
Yes, certainly hope so.
What else is new?
What else is new? Well, shall we talk about Happy Dos?
I love Happy Dos.
Yes.
It's not super Happy Dos, just regular Happy Dos.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about some of the major championships this year and some of the players. May I have your express written consent, please?
I just texted it to you.
Oh, let me check with Pedro De La Rosa if I...
Yes. I miss Pedro De La Rosa. You know, and so he's at Ferrari too.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Exactly. And not only that, but see, at Ferrari, now that Fernando's gone, they bought all this Spanish stuff and they figure, well, we might as well get another Spanish-speaking driver so we can use all this crap.
Yes. Okay, GP2, Habidas, this year, Battle Royale was expected between fourth-year driver Julian Palmer and third-year driver and our cousin Felipe Nasr. Start of the season turned out to be the Belgian rookie Stoffel Vandoorne won on his debut in the series. in the opening race in Bahrain. Palmer won the sprint race on Sunday. In the feature race of the second round in Barcelona, Felipe Nasr took his long-awaited first win of the series, and then Palmer won the Monaco feature race. Stoffel Vendôme, I think, is one guy who's going to burn out the lights on a few careers who are in GP2 and F3, just like Max Verstappen has done.
He's very quick, and I believe he's working for McLaren, right?
Yeah, he's under contract. He has the same manager as Jenson Button, a guy named Richard Stoddart, and he's under the wings of McLaren. And the thing about this kid, you know, when he went to World Series by Renault last year, which was won by Kevin Magnussen, he won on his debut in GP2. I mean, people are taking 3 to 4 years to win. Good drivers are taking 2 to 3 to 4 years to win a race, and this guy wins on his debut. That's very, very impressive. Now, one guy some years ago, Clark, you will remember, was making a big noise in F3, Rafael Marcello, who is a Ferrari protege. He took his first win in GP2 in the feature race at Spa, while Cousin won the sprint race on Sunday. And I'm going to say this thing, you know, we're racing fans. We have no agenda against anyone. Rafael Marcello, if he gets blown away in his second year in GP2, most probably by Stoffel Vendôme, then, you know, his Ferrari Formula One career will be over before it starts. So we wish him all the best, and hopefully he can impress Signor Mattiacci and the hipsters and whoever will be in Ferrari by the end of next season.
Yeah. No, he was taking F3 Euro Series. I mean, I remember when he was at Poe. I mean, he was really impressing and dominating the F3 Series. And a lot of people thought this guy was going to be an F1 by now, and it just hasn't happened.
Sochi was so good for Dane Marco Sorensen, where he scored his first GP2 win in the sprint race on Sunday. Vendôme closed the season same way he started, winning the final feature race at Yas Marina in Abu Dhabi. Jolyon had a dominating season, winning 4 races and appearing on the podium 12 times, and won the championship with 276 points. Felipe Nasr was second in the championship going into the final round, but then lost that place to Vendôme, who was second and scored 229 points. And Cousin scored 224 points and finished third in the series. And of course, Felipe Nasr has now moved on to Sauber with Marcus Ericsson for 2015. Looking ahead to the GP2 season next season, next year, much is expected from Rafael Marcello and also young French driver Pierre Gasly, who has been very quick in testing. Esteban Ocon is another name to watch. So is the 2014 GP3 champion chap by the name of Alex Lynn. So we'll see how it works out. Did you watch any of the GP2 races this year?
Yes, and they're very, very good races, very competitive, and the cars sound pretty good.
Oh, yeah, the sound is beautiful.
I enjoy watching GP2. I enjoy watching GP3 as well.
Oh, talking of Happy Threes, British drivers took the top 2 spots in the championship. Alex Lynn, who is supported by Red Bull, was the champion. He won 3 races and was on the podium 8 times, scoring 207 points. And last year, he won the prestigious Macau Grand Prix, so his resume looks very good. Dean Stoneman, a cancer survivor, was second with 163 points. He took 5 wins and was on the podium in 6 races, scoring 163 points. And if anybody is interested in reading about Dean Stoneman, this is a very interesting story. He came pretty close to dying from cancer, and there's a lot of treatment, and I'm glad for him and his family that he's back in action and is in good health, so that's very good. GP3 championship, Mr. Rogers, started in 2010, and yours truly, thanks to F1 Weekly, I had a media pass and I was a witness to the very first GP3 race, which ironically was won by, in 2010, by a guy from Norway, Paul Warhaug, and he was still in GP2 or has come back to GP3 this year. Esteban Gutierrez was the inaugural champion, and last year champion was Daniel Kvyat, and this is a championship also won by Mr. Valtteri Bottas. Now we go to European F3. Amazingly, this, I don't know if it has ever happened in a major series before, 2 rookies took the spotlight and 2 of the top 3 positions in the championship. Your homeboy, Esteban Ocon took the title. He is supported by Jenny Capital, as in Lotus Renault team, and as in Gerard Lopez. Sensation of the season, straight from karting into F3, was Max Verstappen. He won more races than Ocon and finished the season in third place, but more importantly, had an F1 contract to drive for Toro Rosso in 2015. World Series by Renault, also known as Formula Renault 3.5, Carlos Sainz Jr. was the preseason favorite, and he avoided Dr. Marco's machete by winning the championship, and Red Bull has given him wings to fly in F1 with Toro Rosso. It will be interesting to see Sainz Jr. and Max Hui. How do you think it will work out?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but we've seen this before. You know, Scott Speed, Vitantonio Liuzzi. Great talents, but weird stuff happens. You know, I expect both of them to be fairly competitive, especially if the Toro Rosso is competitive. So we'll see what happens. Toro Rosso looked really good in 2014.
Yeah.
You know, top 10 often with Jean-Éric Vergne, who's now in a more quiet Formula A.
Yes. MotoGP, an unbelievable record-breaking year for Marc Marquez, who last year became the youngest world champion and this year defended the title in grand style. What a talent this kid is. Now we come to, you know, we have to have some musical connection here. Now we come to drivers who got the Isaac Hayes CD. I'm talking about Shaft from their employers, which included, of course, your man, Jean-Éric Vergne, despite, you know, he got the Shaft despite scoring more points than Kvyat. And Kevin Magnussen also falls into this category, but he will have a seat at McLaren when the music stops for JB. Do you think they'll keep JB more than a year?
That's tough. It depends. It depends. If Fernando, el machismo hombre de España, blows him out of the water and we start getting stuff like Carbon Industries, I don't know. It's really hard to predict what's going to happen, how competitive the Honda is. Not only that, but what's going to be happening at McLaren? Are they going to, you know what happens? I know people say that there's no number one, there's no number two, but sometimes you start favoring one driver depending on how well he's doing. And if Fernando, you know, he starts cooking a little paella on the side for the engineers, it's going to be interesting. I'm telling you.
Normally happens in motor racing. The team, the best engineer, the best resources drift away to the guy who's faster. It's a very simple thing.
It's very, very simple. And Flavio always made sure that happened. You could ask Mr. Trulli, Heike, this is the norm. And everybody knows that's how Fernando likes the structure to be.
Yeah, I would like to see how the combination of Flavio and Ron Dennis will look in the pit lane.
That's not going to happen. There was going to be a fence. No Flavio allowed.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, Flavio, he's wearing his mankini over in Sardinia.
Yes. It's an interesting. McLaren is an interesting situation. I remember reading that when at one time Kimi was told not to bring his dog to the F1, paddock area. And then Juan Pablo Montoya was told to cut down his large Colombian entourage. So, you know, a lot of things go on behind the scenes.
Yes, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. It's going to be interesting. One thing we do know is both Jenson Button and Fernando Alonso are pretty strictly business. There's no hanky-panky. There's no earrings. It's going to be fascinating. Both hard workers and dedicated. So it's actually a pretty good match.
No, it is. It's a very serious match, and I think these people have delivered championships before, so you cannot really fault the driver selection. It's a very impressive lineup. According to Round, this is the best lineup, and the Kimi Raikkonen, if awake and alert, and Sebastian Vettel, that's a very, very lethal combination, I have to say.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I remember on this show, we talked about Jenson Button going over to Ferrari to replace maybe Felipe Massa when he was going down, 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 down. So this is a great lineup. 2015 is going to be exciting with these lineups. And it's going to be interesting to see where the old drivers in new teams perform. It's good to mix it up a little bit.
Let me tell you, if Ferrari has a winning car, I mean, to have a very good British driver and a very, you know, a very man coming from a very passionate land of motorsports going to an equally passionate land of motorsports, I think that would be a fantastic combination.
It would be, but that Ferrari's going to – it's going to be 2, 3, or 4 years before they're back at the front.
I was thinking about it this evening that, you know, so many changes going on. All the key players are going. Sure, they have a tremendous driver in Sebastian Vettel, but if the car is – I mean, if you don't have the package, no delivery, and look what happened at Red Bull this year with Sebastian Vettel.
Yes, and that was odd. Sebastian Vettel was – the Kimi Raikkonen of Red Bull. And he started complaining about how the car didn't suit him. Yeah, you know, he was a blown diffuser guy.
Yes.
And that doesn't exist anymore.
And his cover got blown by Daniel Ricciardo.
Exactly. See, Daniel Ricciardo didn't know nothing about blown diffusers and did a fantastic job. So it's just it's interesting how these young drivers are coming in.
You know,
so,
for me, driver of the season, I think for me it's Daniel Ricciardo.
I think so too. We everybody knew that LCH was going to be fast in a fast car. I mean, there was no surprise there for me.
Yeah.
And not only that, but Sebastian Vettel leaving the team the first year Ricciardo is there, for me, says a lot.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Very impressive.
That would be like Ayrton Senna leaving because he couldn't handle Gerhard Berger.
Exactly. Even though Gerhard Berger is a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy.
I know. That's the problem.
Now, were you happy that David Coulthard finally won a big sort of a championship?
Well, Schumacher wasn't there for one. So, but no, I was happy. Race of Champions, you know, it's something to put under your belt.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, and it's to win a big event in Barbados on the island. Yeah. Very nice.
Yes, you know, that way he doesn't have to look like an ice cream salesman in Brighton.
There you go.
Yeah, so, no, I was very happy. Unfortunately, I have not seen the Race of Champions, but I think they're going to replay it for us in the colonies.
Very good. Now, going back to your man, Jean-Éric Vergne, Formula E, they were in Punta del Este, which is a swanky area of Uruguay, and Jeff made his debut for Michael Andretti's team in electrifying style by taking pole for the street race. Did you get a chance to watch this race?
No, I did not get a chance to watch this race, but I read all the updates about this race, and it was an exciting race. Once again, Formula E making a lot of noise.
Yes, and Sam, our favorite, Sam Bird, was flying high after hitting the curb and into the wall of voodoo. Jeff, race ended with technical issues shortly before the finish. Sebastian Buemi was the winner. Three races so far and three different winners. Lucas Di Grassi leads the championship. Next round is in Argentina next month. And this series has a lot of drivers who were in Formula One or almost made it to Formula One. Nelsinho Piquet was also there. And of course, Trulli too.
Of course, everybody wants to be a part of it. It's exciting, and I'm happy for Sebastian Buemi winning this race. I mean, he just had success with Toyota, and now this. So, obviously, he's a talented driver, but no, a lot of people, Formula E seems to be moving. I predict that they'll bring refueling into Formula E.
Wow. Well, something bizarre. I saw they were changing during the race. They made a pit stop, and they were changing cars, which I'm sure they did before, but it was new for me.
Yeah, but pretty soon they're going to stop that and they'll just change batteries, hence refueling.
Wow, interesting. Yeah. And I believe they will have a race as part of the Long Beach IndyCar Grand Prix.
Really?
Yeah, I think
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, they could have a race in a lot of places, you know, because in some communities, the high decibels can be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Even, I remember many years ago, I think it was Nigel Mansell, who had a problem with the community that were complaining about the high decibels. But with Formula E, you can go anywhere.
Well, what he was trying to do, he had a big, you know, like a golf field and all that, park, and he was trying to build a sort of a racing facility there.
Correct.
And he was trying to get the permission, and the locals launched a campaign called Cancel Mansell.
Exactly. Too many decibels from Mansell.
Yeah.
Those are exciting things to think about sometimes. In the off-season, Nasser?
Yes. And sir, how about finally this month in motorsports history? A little, you know, we need fillers. So how about some interesting fillers instead of putting on Lady Gaga on the show?
Well, I do like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, but so. The lady, not the music.
Correct.
Thank you very much. So shall we proceed?
Please.
November 2nd, 1946. Jonesy Boy was born in Melbourne, Australia, and in 1980 went on to become Frank Williams' first world champion. November 29, 1975, two-time world champion and one of the few drivers to win the Indy 500 as a rookie, Graham Hill, was killed in a plane crash in England along with members of his team after returning from a test session at Paul Ricoh. And one of the team members was his young driver, Tony Brice, who was making quite a good name for himself. So pretty sad day, November 29, 1975, in the annals of motor racing. And November 4th, 2012, fairly recent history, the most important message ever from a driver to a team delivered on this date at Yas Marina, as Kimi was on his way to give Lotus their first Grand Prix win in their new era. And do I need to remind you of that message?
Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Yes, and he, for once, he was right.
He was right, but they were just checking if he was awake.
Yeah, I think it was in the same race when he said, you know, I know I'm trying all the time. Don't tell me every corner, every lap, every turn.
Yeah, I mean, to the old guys, you know, it is annoying what they do out there. I mean, I'm pretty soon, I think the driver is just going to sit there and the whole thing will be like slot cars.
It'll be like Nico Rosberg saying, please advise.
Yes, please advise. So anyway, no, very exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to any kind of preseason testing. I cannot wait. I can't wait to see this McLaren. And the livery, we haven't had a clue about what the livery is going to look like. You know, they could go full-blown orange, red and white, depending on who the sponsorship people are. And it's the only team that we're concerned with because, well, Ferrari is going to be pretty much red.
I suspect a sort of a red and white combination for the Japanese flag, I have a feeling.
You never know. It depends on how big Honda wants to come in there and shake it up.
What I've heard is that they are paying Nando's salary. And, you know, there were so many reports flying around. Who knows what the truth is, that Nando's contract is with Honda, not with McLaren. So who knows? Who knows? Sooner or later, we'll find out.
Well, all I know is Fernando said no raw fish.
Can he take miso soup with his paella?
Miso's fine, but no raw fish. Yeah. You know, parasites. Yeah, you don't want to get the worm.
Yeah, but you know, talking about raw fish sushi, most of the young drivers I have interviewed over the years, when you ask them your favorite food, a lot of them say, including Adrian Tombe, sushi. And I have a German friend from Munich. Man, the guy eats nothing but sushi.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Nasser, but Fernando was at Ferrari for 5 years. Free spaghetti.
Oh, so he's ingrained into the spaghetti culture?
Well, pretty much. Him and Niki Lauda. Any look, you know, I haven't been able to say Le Nascar in a while, Nasser.
Yeah, you know, shockingly, they don't have a race this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, can you believe that? But
is it?
Talking about off-season, the Dakar Rally is coming up soon, so that's going to keep me alive. And then hopefully the season will start. And then Daytona 24 Hours, which I look forward to. And, of course, in February, Daytona 500, and which I enjoy very much. So just a few more weeks, Mr. Rogers, and you'll have more to spell.
I understand, and I'm looking forward to see how Peugeot does. Yeah, but let's not forget, they don't go to Dakar anymore.
No, but the name is still there.
I know. I mean, we all still call it Paris-Dakar.
Dakar.
But now I think they go to Montevideo or something.
Montevideo, Buenos Aires.
Where there's hotels.
Yeah.
I like that. That's actually good thinking. So do you think we'll get a Grand Prix de France one day?
Well, you know, if we have a race in Azerbaijan, so I am expecting. Well, you know, this is how I look at it. The moment BP, Shell, or Exxon announce a huge oil discovery in Laos, we have a VNTN Grand Prix.
That's really bitching. I'm looking forward to that. I have a lot of Laotian friends, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Wow. Very passionate. Very passionate about motorsports over there. At least we get to see Sai one more year.
Yeah.
So
it was nice to have the Turkish Grand Prix. It was a beautiful track.
That's a great track.
Yeah.
But that's not back because, you know, we have Austria and that's back now.
Yeah, which is a beautiful facility for sure.
It's a great facility, and Red Bull put a lot of money into that facility, so, and Red Bull is capable of paying Bernie.
I would love to see a French Grand Prix at Pau. I mean, that would be so beautiful.
That would be beautiful, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, and a Formula One race in Argentina would be very nice, too.
That would be nice, but that's not going to happen either. But at least, Mexico is also on the schedule, but I have not heard about much progress at the refurbishing of the track in Mexico City.
No, it's quiet, but I think it will happen. Carlos Slim has the money to make it happen, and Herman Tilke has been there, so I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, okay. Maybe check with your contacts in Mexico City and get some photographs or something.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping to make a run, but with the change of job, unfortunately, I don't have much vacation time. I'm trying to find a way to get to... I love that track, you know. It used to be called Magdalena Michuca. And it's pretty much like used to be like Monza, long straight, this and that. And I would really, really like to go there and try some authentic horchata.
I was talking to a friend of mine who I went to Montreal with in 2010. And we're thinking, we're trying to make some contacts with his FIA connections. So there you go. Quickly, calendar sales. Are enough people ordering or do I need to go out there with a big stick?
You do.
Okay, that's what I thought. This is really, it's making me bitter and angry inside.
Uh-oh. So shall I change your name to Clark Alguersuari?
That's just fine. No, order your calendars. This calendar is gorgeous. Fantastic photography. Great topic. I mean, can it get any better than this?
And if you enjoy salsa and chips, this is for you, samba and tango.
Samba and tango, salsa and chips. It's a fantastic situation. And for Christmas, you know, you have the tamales, you have samba and tango, salsa and chips. What else do you want?
How about a Corona con limon?
That's pretty good, too. You know, and I could use one right now. Nice and crispy.
Yes, sir. There you go.
So anyway, I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Thank you, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays.